Great. Thanks, Jerry. Good evening, church. How are you all doing? Good. I know you've just been chatting to your neighbours, but just turn to your neighbours, say hello again, introduce yourselves if you haven't done so already. I'm just going to load up the iPad, so it's always good. Excellent. Great. So as Jerry said, my name's Lewis, and I've just started here training to become a vicar, 3 years worth of training, which is really, really exciting. And apart from obviously loving Jesus and loving church, have to say that if you're training to become a vicar, you've got to get that in nice and early. Of course, she said, do not mention me, but of course I love my wife, Louise, who's over in the corner, so she's great. But my third, and it's definitely up there, love is football. I love football. I used to play a lot when I was a kid, got quite competitive growing up as a teenager, but by far the most competitive and most difficult opponent I've ever faced playing football was my pet dog, Monty. He was a Springer Spaniel. Not only was he a Springer Spaniel, he was a one-eyed Springer Spaniel. So when I was a kid, I used to take my football out in the garden. You know, it's a nice summer's day. Sun is shining. The garden, you know, Dad's just done the lawnmower into looking like Wembley. And I put the football down. We had this amazing, what do you call it? Sort of like a clove rack type thing, so you can hang your clothes up, and the poles were like perfect goal size. So there I am, bottom of the garden, I've got my football, and I'm kicking it through the goal, and I'm like getting really good. And one day my mum let Monty the dog out, and here he comes, and he's like chasing after the ball, and I'm, you know, practicing my skills, having shots, and he's tackling me and biting my ankles. The only thing is, the next day when I went to do that, it was raining. So what I did instead, the rest of the family were kind of out a little bit, so I moved all the furniture of my living room to the side, and we had these really big dining room like doors. I was like, perfect size for a goal. So I went to Monty the dog's toy box and pulled out one of the smallest squeaky football kind of size balls that you can, and I started playing, and Monty the dog comes into the living room, and he's like, paws down, he's like, here we go, here we go. And there I am, doing my skills, little flicks, beat Monty the dog, and I've struck probably the best shot of my life, and this small squeaky ball has flown into the top corner of the dining room doors. And I'm celebrating, and Monty the dog's barking, and what I haven't realized is this squeaky ball has caught the edge of the dining room door, pinged back, and it has smashed my mum's favourite giraffe ornament. And in that, like, Hollywood slow motion moment, I've seen it fall. And I'm like, no! So annoying. It lands on the ear. And ear just goes and pops off. And I'm there like, no! I panicked. I sprinted into the kitchen. It's like, what am I going to do with this? I've broken my mum's favourite giraffe ornament. What am I going to do? And I see on the side a bit of blue tack. I'm like, winning. Grab. Whacked it on that ear. Put it back on. It was kind of like sort of flopping off a little bit. Like blue everywhere. And I'm like, that'll do. And I put it back on the shelf. And I'm like, I think I've got away with it. I'm not even kidding. 3 months later, my mum, and this is how often she cleaned, it was terrible, but she was dusting, and she comes up to this giraffe woman, and she just goes, what is that? I'm like, oh no, it's D-Day. I knew it was coming at some point. And because I loved my football, I was always in the living room playing football, I thought I got away with it. She comes up to me and she goes, Lewis, was this you? No, mum. No, definitely not me. Lewis, tell me the truth. Was this you? No, mum. I think it was Monty the dog. She was like, tell me the truth. I burst into tears and I ran off. I think I gave the game away. The reality is, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. And this evening we're going to be continuing our theme that we're looking here at St. John's, at the armor of God, which is taken from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. We had Ali speaking to us last week on the helmet of salvation. He did an absolutely cracking job. If you missed it and you weren't here, head to the St. John's website. It's on there. It's definitely worth a listen. And we're looking at this topic of standing firm. How do we stand firm? Because it is our vision here at St. John's that we become a church, that we become believers and children of God that are sent and that go from this building to encourage others to explore and to experience the transforming love of Jesus. But in order for us to be sent, we need to be children of God that know how to stand firm, to stand firm in what we believe. And so this evening, we're going to be looking at one of the bits of the armor that Paul writes to the Ephesians in his letter. And we're going to be looking at the belt of truth. Tell me the truth. And in looking at this part of the armor, I'd absolutely love to be able to take the moment this evening to just share my heart and a little bit of kind of my story, my testimony of how I came to know the amazing truth of Jesus. Because I was quite a simple kid. I basically loved my family. I loved my friends and I loved playing football, particularly with Monty and the dog. But when I got to 13, it was a bit harsh actually, because it was on my brother's birthday. But my mum and dad sat us down as a family, my two older brothers and my younger sister, and they kind of told us I guess it was kind of life-shattering news that they were separating. And I can hear the kettle going. That they were going to be separating and that they were going to get divorced. And for me, my world was absolutely turned upside down. I didn't come from a Christian family, far from it. And suddenly my ordinary kind of mundane, usual, exceptional in a way, life was just torn in two. And so I grew up as a teenager with this kind of sense of what is the point? What is the purpose of all of this? And in the frustration and in the anger towards my parents and the situation, I was just filled up, I guess, with this sense of just being lost, of emptiness and of hurt. And so as teenagers do, I kind of cracked on, went for whatever the world could offer at the time. So one of the advantages, it's not really an advantage looking back, but when so me and my sister ended up moving in with my mum, and quite quickly she started seeing some bloke from Milton Keynes. I'm from leafy High Wycombe in Buckinghamshire, so it's about an hour drive. And she would basically, when we were growing up, so I was about 16, 17 at college, she would get in the car. She would drive off to see the new partner, which for a 16-year-old, when you have a free house and you've just started college, winning. And so as a teenager, here I am, deep inside, not really telling anyone. I was just filled with this sense of emptiness, of hurt, and of loss. And I would just try anything and everything to fill that gap. I don't know if anyone here maybe recognizes or responds to that. But in a sense, drinking, trying drugs, relationships, sex, the football, whatever it was that I was exploring and looking for to fill that gap, that sense of kind of purpose, it just never satisfied. And so it reached the point where I was just so desperate to go and try anything and anything to try and fill this sense of emptiness. So I ended up in America trying to get a scholarship in football. I'd pretty much flopped all my A-levels in order to train and to play. And just heartbreaking. I got there and I was there for 3 months. Almost every night I cried because I was homesick. What on earth is going on? I've come all this way to get away from home and now I'm missing it. And so after 3 months, I gave in, again, the void wasn't satisfied and I returned home with no A-levels. And the day after I got back, my mum actually moved us out of High Wycombe all the way over to Milton Keynes to live with her partner. And so I then had returned to all my friends and then left almost immediately. And I was gutted. And because of that, being a stroppy 18-year-old at that point, me and my mum clashed. Majorly clashed. And after 2 weeks of just constant horrendous fighting, I rung up my friends and said, come pick me up, I've had enough. We had one big final argument and I stormed out. And that was kind of it. And I ended up coming back to Wycombe and bless her, I crashed out on my nan's sofa. I said to her, I'll be here for about a month, I just need to get a job and then, you know, I'll start finding my own way, be fine. 3 years later, bless her, absolute star, saved the day. And so I ended up, obviously no A-levels and no qualifications, I needed to get a job, so I thought, hey, I like sports, so let's go for it. I ended up working as a lifeguard at a sports centre, watching little Doris, bless her, swimming up and down, taking about half an hour to do a length. If anyone's exploring a new career, avoid being a lifeguard. It's really not as glamorous. I mean, it's certainly not David Hasselhoff with the, like, the shirt off and the hair going. Yeah, let's not go there. And so at 19, I was just at this stage where I didn't really feel I had any prospects or any purpose. I still had this massive hole inside of me, this emptiness, this loss, this hurt. And so I just kept plodding along in what the world, only what the world could offer. And it reached the point at 19 where one of my friends invited me round for a birthday barbecue. It was kind of like mid-August. And he invited me and he said, oh, but it's with a group of friends that you've not actually met before. And I was like, all right, I'm up for meeting new people. That's all right. I'll just go for it. He's like, yeah, yeah, it's my church youth group. And I was like, oh, no. We all know what that means. It's going to be cucumber sandwiches and yawns from here on. And so, I mean, you know, it's an opportunity to have a hot dog, isn't it? So I went and, these Christians, they were actually like, they were all right. They were actually relatively normal. I mean, not all of them, but some of them were relatively normal. And so we hung out in the afternoon and my friend Matt, Then started getting in my ear and he was like, oh yeah, you know, Lewis, you met all these really cool people. We're actually all going camping in a week. You know, it's like 5 days of camping and, you know, be lots of music and lots of young people. You should come along. And I'm like, right, okay. And then, you know, he definitely like told the whole youth group that I was coming and that I wasn't a Christian. Cause then, you know, one other woman would come and be like, oh yeah, yeah, just let you know, there's, you know, we're all going camping in 5 days and it's going to be like loads of young people. It's really fun. There's lots of music. And I'm like, oh yeah, that actually sounds like quite good. Like, cause in mid-August, you've got like Reading and Leeds Festival coming. So I was like, oh great. Like little, you know, music festival. Sounds quite fun. Don't mind a bit of camping. Anyway, after like 10 of them were just sort of like, yeah, you should come along. It's like, right, okay. I hadn't even twigged that it was a Christian festival. If anyone's heard of it, Soul Survivor. Anyway, so I was like, sounds quite good. You all seem like quite a nice bunch. So, and amazingly, the only thing was, so working in a sports centre, it's all shift work. So early mornings, late evenings. And because of shift work and the fact that it's lifeguard and no one wants to do any lifeguarding, it was almost impossible basically to change your shifts with a week's notice. And I had a week of being like, this sounds actually relatively good. Maybe I'll go along. And I went into work and I was like, I know this sounds a bit mental, but can I please have these 5 days off? And immediately they were like, sure, we'll sort it out. And I was like, wow, that was surprisingly easy. I just love it. The truth is, when God wants to get a hold of your heart, he will make it happen. It is who he is. He will not stop fighting and running for those that who do not know him yet. And so I managed to get the time off and off I went to sunny Somerset. It was horrendous. It rained all 5 days and, shocking. And all the youth group were kind of saying, okay, just to let you know, there is music and there is fun and there are a lot of young people, but it's also all about Jesus. And I was like, I see what you've done. I see what you've done here. Nice. Nicely done. That was clever of you. And they sat me down the first dinner when we got there. They kind of said, the most important thing is come with an open heart and an open mind. And it's just an encouragement for those here this evening. If you're here, maybe for the first time, you're just starting to explore what church is and what Christianity and who Jesus and what it's all about. My encouragement is exactly the same. Just come with an open heart and an open mind. No one here is going to force or pressurize you into absolutely anything. This is your opportunity to ask questions and to go for it. And so they said, open heart, open mind, go for it. And so I walked into this ginormous tent, very festival-like, with 10,000 other teenagers and young people. And the music kicks up and they start worshipping Jesus. And you've got these 10,000 people with their hands in the air just singing these glorious songs. And I'm just sort of this lemon in the middle just being like, what on earth is this? This is weird. Why is that person singing? Why is that person shouting and dancing? And it's just mental. And so my open mind and heart started to close down. It's like, oh, what have I let myself in for? And they just kept saying, open heart, open mind. Came to day two. What is this? This is mental. This is not for me. Day three, that's like the nosedive. I was like, get me out of here. This is horrendous. Why is that person doing that? But by day four of five, I just remember in the evening, I'd just been hearing about this Jesus bloke that loved me, and I was like, really? What is this all about? I just remember reaching this point by the fourth evening, probably just shattered from rainy camping and loads of random weird people that I didn't know. I just remember sitting down in this cold, wet tent with 10,000 other people. And from the beginning, almost to the end, I just sat with my head between my knees, just with this crazy sense of what is this all about? The emptiness, the loss, the hurt, the brokenness. And I could have been the only one there, just sat in that tent. And for the first time, I just prayed such a simple prayer that probably went along the lines of, God, if you are real, I need you to show me. I need you to show me, God. And I just sat there and I just kept praying, if you're real, God, show me. And I just remember this sudden, it's almost like a burst inside of me. And just this kind of tear came out and I was like, what is going on? And just without even noticing or even realizing in a way, I just burst into tears. And for so long when I was growing up as a teenager, like crying, don't do crying. No to crying. Show weakness, show people any vulnerability, it's a no from me. And suddenly in front of almost 10,000 people, just burst into tears. And the only thing I can really kind of explain it as was just that sense of everything that I tried to shove in there to fill this gap, to fill this void of this emptiness, this loss, this hurt, this brokenness. Everything that I tried was just simply washed out in this 45 minutes worth of snotty, dribbly crying. And the only thing that I could hear or feel was just this sense of, Lewis, I love you. Lewis, I've got you and I'm here. Lewis, I love you. And all of this rubbish came out. And the only way I can explain it is this sense, this feeling going in me, dripping into me that I belonged and that I was loved and that I was welcomed. And it just changed everything. So after 45 minutes of mess, I sprung up out of that tent. And on the last night at Soul Survivor, in a cold and wet tent, I stood at the front and I said, Jesus, I've got absolutely no idea who you are yet, but you've come and you've shown me that you love me and I want him. I want to start an adventure and a journey with you. And so I prayed and I said, come Jesus. And what an adventure it has been over the last, 8 years. And what I love is that this is the truth, that actually Christianity isn't just simply this kind of head knowledge of what the facts are. I was this kind of young, messed up, confused little lamb almost. And I just stood there and said, I don't know what this is all about yet, God, but I want to follow you. I've seen enough. I've experienced enough. And Jesus is the truth. And he came. And we read it in John. It says, when you know truth, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And that was that sense of that experience. When Jesus showed up and said, I love you, I was set free. And so for the last 8 years, it has been such a crazy and fun and exciting and up and down adventure getting to know Jesus. And it was just one of those things where, you know, I was working at a sports center. So as soon as that kind of happened, I came back and I was like, I just want to tell absolutely everyone about this amazing God called Jesus who apparently loves me. And I think I've experienced it. And I just want to tell everyone about it. In the space of about 3 weeks, I actually spoke to my like two closest mates at the time and they actually kind of became Christians as well, which was absolutely amazing. And it was just this real sense of that transforming love and experience of Jesus, that truth of who he is, was just enough for me to keep on pressing in. And so this evening, just for the next few moments, I just want to encourage us, as we think about the armor of God and the belt of truth, just encourage us in three very simple ways as we think about the belt of truth, how it can encourage us to stand firm and to keep on going. So the first one, we're going to look actually into the real context behind what the armor of God is, and particularly what the belt is. Because when we think belt, you immediately think, oh, I forgot to put my belt on this morning and I've left the house and my trousers are potentially going to fall down. It's slightly embarrassing. And actually the reality is that firstly, with a Roman soldier and the armor that they were wearing, what they would do is they put on this kind of tunic, this kind of like under robe first. And it was really kind of loose and it was really baggy and it kind of came down to their knees. And so what the belt would do, the belt would simply be a way of grabbing hold of this robe and being able to tuck it in so you're ready and prepared for battle. And this is just my simple encouragement for this evening, is that we are in a battle. We are in a battle this evening. We read it in Ephesians 6 when we read the armor of God, that there is an enemy who is striving and scheming and strategizing against us, that wants to kill us and destroy us and steal from us. And God is saying, put on this belt of truth in order that you are ready, you are tucking yourself in, you are ready and prepared for battle. The second truth is that this truth, this belt of truth, would be the thing that would hold the rest of the armor together. So we read in the armor of God, it's the breastplate of righteousness, so how to live right, the shoes of the gospel of peace, how we walk and live with Jesus, how we hold the shield of faith, how we wear our helmet. It's the belt of truth that holds the core part of this armor of God together. So it's the truth of Jesus. It is the truth of Jesus that has to be at our core. Otherwise, all the rest is just going to fall apart. And the third encouragement is this belt in a Roman soldier's on part of his armor would be used for different tools. So it's where actually he would keep his sword. And so we will find out in the next couple of weeks that the sword of the Spirit is the Bible. It's the word. It's God's word. And so here we have, right at the core of this armor, the truth of who Jesus is this understanding that we need to go to the word. It's the thing that we spring off, that is the truth of who Jesus is and what he says in the Bible. And it's my encouragement that if you are exploring, and as we all want to battle on and take on the enemy, that we must go into the Bible. We must explore who Jesus is in the Bible. And the question is also, what are the other tools that are on your belt? So for me, my testimony is an exceptional tool to combat the battle. Because it's a remembering of what God has done in my life. And there are sometimes times where we need to stop and we need to reflect, God, what have you been doing in me before this? What are the promises that you've been faithful in? And particularly in those times where you're feeling discouraged and feeling disappointed. What have you been saying and what have you been doing? And the final thing for me is a tool, the word, the testimony, is also community. And I've absolutely loved and adored being part of this community for the last month. Just the atmosphere of the welcome, the atmosphere of immediately being engaged and being embraced. And it is such an encouraging thing when we can come alongside together. Because the truth is, I love this, I found this out today, that a Greek definition of truth, this word aletheia, which literally means to unhide and to hide nothing. And it's that sense of when we come together as community, as real community, as vulnerable community, it's that sense of it's the greatest tool when we're able to share with one another the struggles, but also the celebrations, the challenges, but also the truth. And we're able to speak to one another and build one another up. So to finish, thank you so much for, it's an amazing opportunity just to kind of share a little bit of my background and how I've sort of ended up here. But for me, the truth is more than just a head knowledge. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Amen.